Hey everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Final Down NFL Podcast. With me, Jim, Finn, and Denver Dave. We're still back at the NFL, boys. How are we doing?
That was a bit flat, Jim. Are we feeling all right?
Oh, I put a break in there. I'm sorry I didn't do it in one breath.
But wasn't your effort.
Normally quite good at the one breath stuff.
Yeah. Come on, deep throat it and do it again. Come on.
No. So we are here.
Energy here, Jim.
There'll be energy very shortly. Today we're going to be doing the AFC and NFC North divisions as part of our autopsy of the 2023/2024 NFL season. We've done the East. We've done the South. The next logical place to go is the North. We're doing
it
today.
The only possible way to go.
Exactly. We're going to have 5-minute timer on each team so we don't spend too long on them. And we're going to go from top to bottom in each division. So we're going to start with the team that somehow won the AFC North this year. And that was the Baltimore Ravens. They went 13-4 this year. They were 10-7 the season before, and they were up one place, I think, from last year. Best game, worst game. I'm sure the 56-19 win over the Dolphins was a nice revenge game after their capitulation the season before. They beat the bookies' eternal favourite 49ers 33-19 as well. They closed down the Seahawks 37-3. But I'm sure the victory over the Texans to get the AFC Championship game felt the best out of all of them. Worst game, well, to go through that season, so then only put up 10 points at home to the championship game, must have been a delicious kick in the teeth to the fans. The Ravens had only been held to 10 points two other times that season, both with the Steelers. So, talk to me, boys,
that
about
was subtle,
the Baltimore
wasn't
Ravens.
It?
Well, it had to be said. Everyone forgets. Of course
they
did it twice to them.
Always
talking about the Ravens.
Oh, yeah. There we are. I think it was a good season, obviously. Massive amount of weight and pressure was lifted following last season's contract debacle with Lamar Jackson. Will he, won't he? Will he stop playing? Whatever. And all of the political nonsense that goes on behind the scenes with that. And you could really see a clear plan in place this season. The offense was together. A lot of drafted well as well. Zay Flowers had a phenomenal season and is only going to go strength to strength. And yeah, they just look set. They looked a unit. And I think that has a massive thing, a massive part to do with it. Lamar just, as we all know, has the ability to just turn the game around single-handedly. My only criticism would be, and we saw it particularly towards the back end and against the Chiefs in the playoffs, is when Lamar wasn't firing, then they struggled. And so obviously the QB is at the heart of the team, but you also need to be able to make things happen if your QB isn't quite firing, because you can't, you know, he can't be 10 out of 10 every single game. And so when the times are tough, it's all right, who can step up and make things happen.
Yeah, I think I agree with a lot of that. They're too reliant on Lamar Jackson at the moment. In the regular season, the last time a player rushed for over 100 yards was in week 9. That was against Seattle. They only did it twice in the entire season. So in the offseason, one could say they really need to focus on improving the rushing game. I wonder what they'll do.
But they were first in rushing yards. They were first in rushing yards for the season.
Because of Lamar.
They were, but only because of Lamar. In terms of actual rushing yards from a running back, you know, they were massively short. And some of it's on injuries. Every year it feels like
J.K. Dobbins straight down.
Yeah, every single running back go out injured. It's just a constant. But I think injuries is a big part of it again. But I agree with the best and worst games. I absolutely agree with that.
Thank you.
I think the win against the Texans is a big one, because for so long we've said Lamar can't do it in the playoffs. And the fact he's won a game is a big deal for them. I think they go from strength to strength. I think they're a very well-coached team. I think they're a rounded team. And you said, I don't know how they won the division. They won the division by being the best team.
Shocking.
I think there was a bit of bias in that one.
A little bit.
Dripping, but just bias. Just, don't worry.
The Chiefs win the West.
How did he win that?
The best team.
I also agree with the best and worst game. Another game I'd like to throw out there for the worst game is the Week 10 game against the Browns. And obviously, we'll come on to the Browns in a minute. They also had a good season. So from that standpoint, you wouldn't necessarily say that.
But I have a tough time saying that.
They were 14 points up with 10 minutes to go. Yeah,
But
that's why it's in there.
they only lost by three by 2 points. So I have a tough time
Yeah, but
saying
they were
that
still
that's the
two scores
worst.
up, 10 minutes to go.
I think they'd have been more gutted about losing in week 18 against Pittsburgh because it was, losing twice against your arch ne nemesis is, that's a
Or
real kick
losing
in
to
the
Pittsburgh
ribs.
any time is
Oh,
kicking your teeth, isn't
they
it?
should be used to it by now. They've got eight, just looking forwards, and they've got eight picks in the upcoming draft. Biggest need, I think, is probably a cornerback or wide receiver because let's face it, Odell Beckham's not getting any younger. And the other big problem for the Ravens was that they had such a good squad and coaching staff, they couldn't keep them all together. And of course, Mike McDonald's gone off to Seattle. So
What a
Zach Orr, who
legend.
was the inside linebacker coach, is now the defensive coordinator. He's never been that before. And
He's coaching a good
a
team,
lot of
though.
players have now left the building. They've only got 2.5 million basically in salary cap. And of course, they've got Derrick Henry comes in, but we've taken Patrick Queen.
But that's the curse of a good team. That's not isolated to Pittsburgh, to Baltimore.
Yeah, but it doesn't help. Doesn't help. We're going to move on then, as we have to the team that finished second in the AFC North. And that
Those
was
tears, Jim.
it, kind of. And that was the Cleveland Browns. They went 11-6 last season, 7-10. So they also improved their overall position in the AFC North. Best game, worst game. Well, there's a few to choose from in best game. They beat the Bengals in week one, the 49ers, Ravens, Steelers. They beat the Colts by one and shut out the Cardinals 27-0. So I'm giving the shout out 27-0, even though it was the Cardinals. Worst game, the expectation locally was that they would get to a second win over the Texans in that wild card game. Instead, they get waxed 45-14. Truly embarrassing. Yeah, so let's have it out with the Cleveland Browns.
I think the Browns is a really, really straightforward one. Offensively, there were a plethora of issues with quarterbacks going down. I think it ended up being five different quarterbacks ended up playing throughout the season. I mean, that's
Just a
not
few.
a recipe for success. But the defense, and they lost their
Don't
star
trade for
running
Deshaun
back as well.
Watson.
This is true. But I mean,
It's
there's
the
four other
curse.
quarterbacks that play as well as Deshaun Watson. But then their star running back got injured as well. After playing just literally one game, I think it was a Steeler that even injured.
No, it
And
was week two.
yeah, against the Steelers, it was a
Early, yeah.
Steeler that injured
It
him.
wasn't. It's not malicious. It just happened.
I never said it was. This
Oh, I could have just said,
just go
just
to
making
our
sure.
stating
Let your
facts. It was
guard
a
down, Jim.
dirty Steeler that
There is
hurt
no way my guard's going down on this podcast. Don't you worry about
him. No, not this one, no.
No, the
Wait
only
till
thing I
next
can
week.
say is the fact they got to a playoff is amazing. I mean, they got stuffed when they got there, but they got stuffed by a good team who put in a good performance. They didn't necessarily shoot themselves in the foot. Flacco still got over 300 yards. They abandoned the rush game, which was ridiculous, but listen, they can still count it as a successful season. Their coach got Coach of the Year, which I know Jim's not high on, because he likes
Fix.
Stefanski, but
How is that right?
listen,
They
man,
got glazed in the Hall of Fame picks.
if I gave you the stats of what this team achieved and took the Browns' name off it, you'd say that's a good achievement.
Not as good as the Texans. They went worst to first in division and they beat the Browns.
Yeah, but their division's garbage. Your division's good.
He makes a solid point.
True, this one's not. Ben, how about you, mate?
I think Dave summed it up perfectly. I think the Browns would be really pleased with how they ended and getting to the playoffs, especially when you consider, like Dave mentioned, how many injuries they went through and how many key players they lost throughout the season due to unforeseen circumstances as well. To still be able to, turn up week in, week out and put up a fight. There were games where they just couldn't get going, particularly the blowout against the, not the blowout, but the 28-3 humbling against the Ravens. But at the same time, they also had games where they were just on fire themselves and just going through the motions, making things happen. And when you consider, that they weren't playing with a number one QB to do what they were doing, they'll be really happy with that. So just imagine what they could do with pieces that are fit all season long.
It is amazing how likable the Browns became after we knew
What?
Sean Watson was out. And you're looking at DTR and you're looking at Flacco and you're looking at PJ Walker and Jeff Driskel. These were all guys who started for them. And you kind of forgot that Watson was in the building. I mean, he's completely flattered to deceive, and I love the fact that they're in sort of cap purgatory for him, because that's all guaranteed money as well. But
Yeah, as of recording right now, they are actually minus 3.5 million against the cap.
that's all right.
And they've
Yeah,
still got to draft everyone as well. L listen,
well,
fa the
they were,
fact is, though,
yeah.
they are a playoff team. That is a success for that team. There's no other way of getting around
They're
it.
only one of two teams without a first round draft pick. They've actually, this is the last year where they're still paying the Deshaun Watson draft price. Obviously, they're still paying the Deshaun Watson price in perpetuity. But only the second and third round picks they've got are theirs. The other five picks after that are other people's picks they've had to trade in. Yeah, it's going to be interesting as well because they had to lose their offensive coordinator. Brian Callahan, he's gone off to be a head coach. So Ken Dorsey, who was the Bills' offensive coordinator, is now the OC in Cleveland. They've held on to Jim Schwartz. He's one of the better defensive coordinators in the league. Stefanski's a poser. But yeah, and it's they've re-signed
None of that
Za'Darius
matters because
Smith.
they've got the two-time coach of the year, Kevin Stefanski.
Like Matt Nagy was coach of the year. Za'Darius Smith has re-signed. Shelby Harris has re-signed. Maurice Hurst has re-signed. So a lot of their defensive guys at the front have done so, and they've brought in Jameis Winston for backup, Nyhee Hines. We've got Jordan
Going
Hicks as well.
back to Matt Nagy, you mean Super Bowl winning OC Matt Nagy, yeah? How many rings has
Anything's
Matt Nagy got
possible
now?
with
He's got
Mahomes as the
He's
quarterback,
got like
mate. You
four
should know
rings
that.
on him because he
You
was at the
should know
Rams.
that.
That is true.
Right, we're onto
Four
the
rings and
third
Tom
team.
Brady.
Onto the third team in the AFC North. My Pittsburgh Steelers finished 10-7 this season, finished 9-8 last year. They can't finish below 500. Best game, worst game. Well, best game, we swept the Bengals and the Ravens, beat the Raiders and the Seahawks away. I can't think of a brilliant win, so I'll just take the home win over the Bengals because we won 34-11 with everyone playing well on offense, including 195 yards and two touchdowns from George Pickens and three picks by the defense. Worst game, we got waxed by the 49ers and Texans, lost again to the Jags. I think the home Patriots loss, though, was probably the worst, 21-18.
Not doing the 24-10 against the Cards.
No,
Or
because
the
that came
24.
up. Well, I could have done, but I hate the Patriots more than the Cardinals. That was much more
Yeah,
of a
but
freak.
it is the Cards we're talking about here.
That was a freak loss, and then we should have
Well,
bounced back against the
that's
Patriots.
by the by.
We
This is
did.
all about best game, worst
I
game.
can only tell you
Doesn't
how I
matter, it's a
felt.
freak loss. It was.
I wanted a response, and there was none.
I
But
think
yeah,
the
there we go.
best game is the 24-0 against Atlanta. I think that was
Do
the best
you?
game. Yeah. Absolutely. Week three of the preseason.
Yeah,
That
thanks.
was as good as it got
Thanks.
for the game.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Good season though overall. Obviously struggling with Matt Canada, widely regarded as the worst defensive coordinator in all of football.
You Matt Canada, you didn't mention that at all on the pod.
No. It kind of went so quickly.
Went under
He
the
lasted
radar.
at
Just wanted to keep
least
that one to yourself.
he lasted a while before getting booted. I think it was week seven or something. We've now got Arthur Smith has been brought in. Ex-Falcons head coach.
Big.
He's not a
That's
good
gonna
head coach, but he
game
wasn't bad
changer.
as a as offensive coordinator for Tennessee. So I'm encouraged by that move. Could have been
And
worse. Could have been a
I'd be
lot
really
worse.
excited as well if I was you.
It's pipe down, Finn.
Matt Nagy's a good OC.
It's
Just
pipe down.
saying. Shout out to Matt Nagy again.
No, I'm confident with the way that we're moving forwards. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 draft picks, including the first rounder. Picking 20th. We, as of recording, have just under 19 million in cap space. So we're 17th in cap space. And yet again, the Khan artist, Omar Khan, our GM, has been very busy. Patrick Queen is probably the biggest pickup. 24-year-old from the Ravens, first round pick for them. Pro Bowler, second team All Pro. That is an absolute steal for 41 mil over the 3 year period. Very happy with that.
If he stays fit,
But he will.
he was a Raven, remember?
He was a Raven, but
He will.
you know, there's certain players when you play, especially in division, and
Oh, you're so full of it. Give it a
I don't
rest
want to
of
play this person. I don't like it when they're on the field, and he's one of those. Every time I saw six, I was like, oh Jesus.
you. You know
But so there
what?
we go.
I've got players like that who play for the Broncos. I don't want to play that
Oh
person. I don't want to play him.
yeah. We've also done the very sensible move of moving off Deontay Johnson with a trade with the Panthers. We've got Dante Jackson, cornerback. We needed another cornerback. Because damn it, Levi Wallace is not the right one to go alongside Joey Porter Jr. And we got a sixth round pick out of it, whereas they get a seventh from us. But of course, the big news was that we picked up Russell Wilson for a song. Dave's pocket has been picked. For
I don't
I
think
mean,
Dave minds, to be honest.
1.2 million. It's you'd be stupid not to take the guy. And as much as Finn might want to have a go, he would take Russell Wilson back in a heartbeat up in
No, I
Seattle.
wouldn't. He's
I
done.
don't think he would.
But you would. Yeah,
He's
you
done.
would.
He's run his course.
Jim, you've just spent an entire year
Yeah.
standing there, more than that, 2 years, saying he's washed, he's rubbish, he's a busted flush, he's
I'll wash it
useless.
myself for
Now he's
1.2
in your
mil.
building, you're there going, yeah, you'd be stupid not to take him.
Yeah.
Listen,
Yeah. He's Jim's favorite player now.
when you're sitting in the
He
locker
doesn't have to be
room,
my favorite player.
when you're sitting in the locker room next to a guy who you say, oh, what's your number? He say, I'll just contact my people. That's the kind of guy you're dealing with here, a guy who doesn't even give his teammates his mobile phone number. Listen,
Well, do you know
I'm
what
not gonna
though?
sit here. I'm not gonna sit here and slag him off
Good.
because he's an ex-quarterback. He is what he is,
You're
and
still
I
paying
wish
his
him the best
wages.
of luck. Yeah, that's fine. It's not costing us anything this year because we're paying him now what we would have had to pay him anyway.
Yeah.
All that we've done is benefited by him being out of the building, which I'm
Yeah, you
happy
can
and
now
uncomfortable.
concentrate on Jarrett Stidham and Ben DiNucci, yeah.
It's a win-win.
Dude,
For us, he's
we've got
half the price of
47 million in cap space right now.
you're cash rich, you're asset poor. The reason we've got Russell Wilson is because Mitch Trubisky has just been paid 2.6 million to go back to Buffalo. So he's half the price of Mitch Trubisky, basically. He was an absolute pants for us.
Doesn't matter.
So I'm
If
very
you go
happy.
out in town,
I'm
if you go
happy.
in town and someone gives you gonorrhea for free, you've still got gonorrhea.
I
It's
had
just
herpes with Kenny
stupid. It doesn't
Pickett.
mean
I'm
anything.
very happy with just having gonorrhea now.
Jesus
I'll take
Christ.
it. I'll take it.
And if you're just
Tubal
tuning in,
cool.
this pod has changed.
Tubal cool.
Jim
We're
taking
moving
the pod
on.
instead of gonorrhea. That's what I sum up
We're
from
moving.
the Pittsburgh Steelers right there.
Okay, we're going on to the last team.
Talking
The
of
team who finished
gonorrhea.
bottom in the AFC North. And that was the Cincinnati Bengals, 9-8, and they finished bottom of the division. That shows how good the AFC North is. Last season, of course, they were 12-4. Best game, worst game. Well, despite playing most of the season with Jake Browning as the quarterback, there was a span of about four games where Browning played well. The best was arguably the Week 8 win in San Francisco, 31-17, coming off the bye week. Worst game, the Bengals were 5-4 when Burrow went down in the Ravens game, and there was a 27-3 loss in Week 4 to the Titans. The Titans! No excuse there.
Definitely my worst game that.
Ben, you like the Bengals, don't you? Talk to me about these Bengals.
I do like the Bengals, but I wouldn't say I'm a fan of the Bengals. The way you phrased
Step
that made that sound a bit
away
like
slowly.
I've
Yep.
got to,
Back away.
yeah, I'm just slowly just getting that out there that people remember that I'm not a Bengals fan.
Sure you are.
I agree with you in terms of best game, worst game. From the season perspective, I think they will be very disappointed, but I think they only have themselves to blame because, and we alluded to it earlier on in the season with the pods, in that Burrow's got injured in pre-season, yet he came out week one and didn't quite look himself. And we speculated that the injury was far worse than what was led to believe and what was being portrayed.
To be fair, it was you and Punk that were leading that bandwagon. I wasn't sure, but it turns out you
He
were right.
probably was, yeah.
Thank you. We
Hobbled.
knew it all along. We've got inside sources. No, but I think that they either thought he could play through it or they were just sort of naive to it. But it turns out that obviously it was more serious than they thought or whatever was going on. And it just sort of put them back a bit. One, because when they were playing with him, he wasn't as fluid as we've seen in the past. And then when he had to miss weeks, they've had to rely on Jake Browning. But like you said, Jim, he did have some good games, but obviously he's no Joe Burrows. And I think if they'd have a do-over, they would have probably rested him and limited him to a few games missed rather than the number of games that he did miss.
I think their worst game was week 11 against Baltimore because that was the game he got injured. And that is affected with their season over. End of. That's it. The 2 weeks before that, I don't buy into the fact that his injury took a toll on him and that's eventually what put him out because the 2 weeks before that, he got almost 350 yards. He was playing well and then he just threw the ball and something twinged. Their best game was Week 18 because the season was done and they can move on. Let's just call this Cincinnati Bengals lost season. Because as soon as you've got a player like Joe Burrow and he goes down, they are not the Steelers in where they can just keep on rolling with the defense and get a winning record. That's not them.
No.
They are completely reliant on Joe Burrow. And when he goes down, their season's done. This is the lost year. Next year, they'll reset. They've lost Joe Mixon, who was their highest run scoring every rusher in every single game. He is
For
a
a
big,
seventh
big
round pick.
installment for a seventh rounder. Yeah, that's all just because they don't want to pay him. Yeah, they just need to brush it off and move next season. Simple as that.
They've
I
also
don't
brought
think.
in they brought in Zach Moss, haven't they? So when that when they had
Yeah.
Moss in the building, they didn't
How are
need
you?
Joe
How is he
Mixon.
planning to replace Mixon with Moss? I mean, that feels like, come on.
They've done
That's
it.
like us
They're gonna give it a
replacing
go.
Tim with Skip Bayless. It's just not going to work.
Yeah, just looking at the rosters, I made a mistake actually. I said that it was Brian Callahan, but I've got the Browns and the Bengals mixed up. Brian Callahan was the Bengals offensive coordinator that's gone. The Browns offensive coordinator that left was Alex Van Pelt. He went off to be the offensive coordinator in New England. So Dan Pitcher is the Browns offensive coordinator now. And for the Bengals, sorry, for the Bengals, it's Dan Pitcher is the offensive coordinator now. But Zach
You could
Taylor's
have
still the head
styled that
coach.
out because A, no one would have noticed, and B, no one cares.
Well, I would notice. I'm annoyed at myself for that. Forgot to complete it down there. So anyway, yeah, but the Bengals got loads of draft picks. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, about 10, 10, 15, 17, something like
10, 15 seconds to get a number.
that.
What are you doing?
I don't think there's ever
No.
been in history someone's got 17 draft
They got
picks.
nine. They got almost 46 million in cap space right now. So they're fifth. Well, as of right now, obviously by the time you listen to this, they're probably going to be 20th or something. They've also brought in Geno Stone from the Baltimore Ravens at safety and Mike Gesicki, tight end from the Patriots.
Stone's garbage.
Well, I know that.
Really not a fan. Really not a fan.
They've
They're picking up a running back in draft.
already got a running back, so they're done for that. I think they need an O lineman, really, is their
Well,
biggest
no, I'm
need.
not saying first round. I'm saying they're going to be picking up a
Pick
running
one up. Oh,
back.
okay. Well, there we go. That is the AFC North done. So we're going to move swiftly on
Rubbish
to
division.
the, well, yeah. We're going to move on to the NFC North. Wow, what a division. And we're going to, what? We're going to start with the team that we all predicted, I think, was going to top the division this year. Did anyone not pick the Lions to pick to finish top?
I think Jordan Love. That's about it.
We're going to start the Detroit Lions. They finished 12-5 this year. They were 9-8 the year before that, so one place up and topping the division. Best game, worst game. There were plenty of good wins though through the regular season, but let's face it, it has to be the divisional round playoff win, 31-23 at home to the Buccaneers. They'd already had one playoff win at home the week before over the Rams, but this one was an even better result and set them up for next season to believe that they actually can do it. Worst game, the Week 7 away loss to the Ravens. Tough game to play for anyone, but they got spanked 38-6. The Ravens up 28-0 at half time, so I'm giving them that one. Talk to me about these Lions. Dave, you're a massive Lions fan, so crack
Well,
on.
they're my second team. I won't go. I'm a massive Lions fan.
Basically a closet Lions
I'm a Bengals fan and Dave's a Lions fan now.
Apparently so. I don't want to
Yeah.
gym support. You haven't mentioned that. No, I've liked the Lions for a long time because I like the fact that they're, I think you'll know what I mean by this, a down and dirty team where they give everything.
Bite
You
your
know, you
kneecaps.
can see, yeah, you can see the effort. But the Lions have always been that way. It's not just a Dan Campbell thing. It's they've always been that way. I like the fact that they're running it back with Goff and he's not this star. You know, he's not an A-rater. I don't think anyone's got him in their top five, really. But they're managing to do it with a really, really great team. They've brought in some phenomenal young talent. I like Jack Campbell, I like Ryan Branch. There's really, really good, solid players in there. The disappointment was that when this team has a brain fart, it's a big one. You know, they lost against Baltimore 38-6. These are big, big issues that they've got. But hey man, the Lions won the playoff game. What are you going to say? It's been
They won
30
two.
years since that
Yeah, in
happened.
2 years, yeah.
Yeah,
Won
it's
two.
crazy. I think they're of the regular season. I agree with the what you say about the playoffs. Of the regular season, I think their big win was Kansas Week One because that set in motion to the point where they ended up being 8-2 because they got real momentum from that game. They lost in Week Two against Seattle, but that was an
Momentum
overtime.
gone.
Which no, it's not because that was an overtime loss. It was like. Fine, and then they went on to
That
win
was
them.
just
Yeah, but they went
punch
on
for
to win that
punch that game.
you know what I mean? It's just it's
Yeah.
ridiculous.
I get it.
And being away from home, well, they weren't away from home, they're actually at home against Seattle, so ignore
Yeah.
that.
Your
Even though
argument's
point base, it's a long way to
you're
go.
shotgunning your own
Just
argument here.
he's arguing against
Exactly.
himself.
Yeah. No,
Look at the
I think
colander.
it's what I was saying about the Bengals, this it being the lost season, this is the found season. This is the season where the Lions realize what they can be. Look at that, 2.5 minutes and I shut up. Exactly halfway. Think.
Bing.
No, absolutely agree with Dave. The Lions had an incredible season and it's starting to all click together. They've still, you know, they've still got the element, and this is where I imagine your point of being a down and dirty team comes from, in that a lot of the games are high scoring, but they edge the high scoring wins.
And it's
And
effort that gets those wins. That's
yeah,
the
of
main
course.
thing.
And it's, you know, it takes an awful lot of effort, mental strength, determination to carry on and then go again a week later and do it all again. So, you know, from that point of view, you know, obviously it's working for now, but eventually it will come a time where they need to tighten the defense up and stop allowing teams to put so many points up, because as soon as you can't match it, then obviously you've lost. Yeah, when it goes wrong and they don't quite sync up, it's horrendous. And it seems that they've never played with each other and they just can't find each other. And it just doesn't look like the Lions. But then they're so dynamic and so free-flowing that the next week they go and blow a team out of the water, and you completely forget about the week previous. So they've got that ability, and obviously to go and win their first playoff game in 32 years,
It's
can't have wanted for
You're
better things
absolutely
this year.
right, Ben. I mean, the stats bear them out. They're second in passing yards, fifth in rushing yards, fifth in points scored, but 23rd in points allowed. They've got just over 29 million at the moment, right this very second in cap space. It changes all the bloody time. But they have done a couple of moves already in free agency and with trades. They brought in Marcus Davenport, a defensive end from the Vikings, so in division. Good move there. And they've traded for Carlton Davis, who's a cornerback. They've had to give up a third round pick for him. But a couple of good moves. I had them getting a cornerback as their biggest position of need. They've already started doing that. There's a lot of
I would
contracts they need
agree.
to sort out, but it's looking promising. The head coaching staff is exactly the same. Ben Johnson could have gone to the Commanders, decided to stick around in Detroit. So that's obviously another good sign for the Lions. There we go. Okay, on to the next team, and that is a team that somehow you can't kill him. He just managed to creep into second place and into the playoffs once again, and that is the Green Bay Packers. Finished 9-8, so actually one result better than last season when it was 8-9 in Aaron Rodgers'
Somehow.
last go. Best game, worst game. Very tempting to put the Week 13 win over the Chiefs, but they humiliated the Cowboys in the wild card round 48-32. We all know that wasn't the true final score. Worst game, they lost division home games to the Lions and Vikings, which can't have felt good. They also lost to the Steelers, Giants, and Broncos. But let's go to the Week 5 loss in Las Vegas. They only scored 13 points and lost to Josh McDaniels and Jimmy G as Jordan Love threw three interceptions, showing me and Dave what we think of him. So, Dave, we're going to talk about the Packers now, mate. What do you want to say about this season?
Halfway through the season, they looked absolutely god awful, like they had nothing about them. And
Yep.
Jordan Love was playing horrendous football, like really bad. But he smartened up towards the end of the season. He really did. And he looked a lot better. And the fact he got to the playoffs and murdered Dallas, you know, makes me like him even more. But it was only towards the end of the season when he started looking like a real quarterback. Let's not forget, week eight, they were 2-5. You know, going into that game, it was insane. They only had a winning record from week 18 onwards. They didn't have a winning record at any point prior to that. I mean, they might have done early on when they were like 1-2 or 2-1 or 3-2. But up until the actual business end of the season, they got it done when they needed to. They closed out the season with 3 wins on the bounce against pretty poor opposition, but 3 wins nevertheless. I think with this team, it's very difficult to know who they are because they lost against good teams. and they beat bad teams. I mean, they lost against Denver, for God's sake. But
I
they,
did mention that. I did mention that.
yeah, they, I mean, they lost against the Giants when the Giants had, was that the DiNucci game? No, it wasn't DiNucci, was it? What's his name? The
Oh,
Mafia guy playing quarterback. I can't remember what his name is.
DeVito.
Yeah, Tommy
Dolly
DeVito.
DeVito, that's it, yeah. So, but it, they only beat Carolina by 3 points. Is the team flatters to deceive, but they did what they always did and beat the Cowboys in the playoffs. But the simple fact is, halfway through the season, I was saying this team is garbage. And if they stick with Jordan Love, they're on a hide into nothing. I have to hold my hands up and say, I look as though at the moment, as though I've got it wrong. He needs to progress, though. But let's not forget how he ended the season against the 49ers. That stupid cross-body, cross-field interception catch that ended the season. So, yes, we can say there's positives, but there's still a bonehead play in there, and that's what he needs to sort out.
It's very Brett Favre, isn't it?
It,
I think
no,
what
no, no.
happened was
Brett, he has not got the arm that Brett Favre had.
Oh no.
Not even close.
decision making.
Yes, I agree with that.
I think you got into a false sense of security in a way. I think, don't get me wrong, first half of the season he was god awful, and you thought, what on earth is he doing? Why is he trying to throw it there? He needs to just keep it simple. And he just, he just looks so out of his depth. And then there was a real turning point, and then he started to actually look somewhat of a decent quarterback, and he was making plays, and he was keeping drives alive, going through his reads, and it looked natural at that point. And I think what we saw, particularly to where he then ended the season with a crossbody throw, is probably an accumulation of a few weeks of him playing well and going, you know what? I've got this in the locker. I'm a good quarterback. I can do this. When in reality, he doesn't have that skill set. It may be something that he develops, but I think there was just a too soon sort of situation. But that's one of those things he needs to.
Too soon. He's been there for 3 years.
Yeah, but he didn't. I mean, as in, he's not
He's
been.
young whippersnappers.
Yeah, it's a very weird situation that one, but yeah, they do like to sit their quarterbacks. It seems to work for them to have them sit flat many years, and
They're gonna have to pay him soon. That's the
well,
only issue.
exactly, yeah. So I look forward to that one. They've got 11 picks in the draft.
Yes.
They have already brought in Xavier McKinney from the Giants at safety for $68 million. Josh Jacobs was the big move as well, the Raiders running back for $48 million, which means they then let go of Aaron Jones. He's gone in division to the Vikings, which has not helped the relationship between the Packers and the front office. But for the most part, the front office is the same. Joe Barry was let go as defensive coordinator, so Jeff Hafley is now the defensive coordinator, but everything else stays the same. And Matt LaFleur moves on with just under $31 million in cap space. So.
Now we finish. The only other thing I want to say that's a big, big positive for the Packers is the fact that they took a swing with a lot of rookies last season and they hit on a lot of them. A lot of young players coming out. Who would have known Aaron Rodgers moves out and the young players thrive? That's a bit of a coincidence, isn't it?
Who saw that
But no,
coming?
yeah, I know. But Jaden Reed, for example, what a player he looks. So
Yeah.
there's some real, real talent in there. And yeah. If their quarterback and situation improves and he can prove he's the right guy, then the future's bright there. And the
Over to
Packers making a splash in free agency. I don't think I've ever seen that in my lifetime.
A team with real quarterback issues, and that was the team that finished third in the division, the Minnesota Vikings. 7-10 this year. They were 13-4 last season and finished top. So a bit of a come down for them. Best game, well, their best win was the Week 7 win over the 49ers. Jordan Anderson had 123 receiving yards and 2 touchdowns. Brock Purdy was picked 2 times by Cameron Bynum. And then worst game, using Dave logic, I'm picking the Week 14 win at the Raiders, 3-0, because nobody won that bloody game. But everyone has stayed from the front office. So Kevin O'Connell's still the head coach, Wes Phillips, the defensive coordinator, Brian Flores, the defensive coordinator. Let's have a word about the Minnesota Vikings from Finn.
The season was over very early when they lost Jefferson and then Cousins as well.
Yeah.
And the whole ethos of the team was reliant on these boys. And what we've seen in the past, the link up they've got, the understanding between each other is second to none. And when they're both firing, you can't not stop them scoring. And as soon as they lost, in a way, for Jefferson getting injured was good because they started targeting other receivers and trying to get them into the game, because it felt like at points that it was all eyes on Jefferson. If nothing's on, then
Did
I'm
you
not
just
going to do
say the
anything.
best receiver in the league getting injured was good?
It did mean they
Are you
started targeting
thinking
Addison.
legal with your sense?
He's got a
It was
point
good
though.
to a degree.
He's got a point.
The
But
what I mean is it allowed others to come into the game, and he's not, you know, Cousins wasn't tunnel visioned. And then when they lost Cousins, it was then, okay, right now what do we do? And lo and behold, Mr. Josh Dobbs rocks up and
That
does his
reminds
thing.
me of one of my friends who's an Arsenal fan, who always used to swear that Arsenal are a better team without Thierry Henry because you spread the ball a bit more. I'm like, no, you're not. Shut up.
We'll
You're just not.
have him.
Yeah, get into Forest.
I'll
I'll take him now.
take it now. Yeah, okay.
But
So that's good.
yeah, so I would say it was over very early because of that. I'm actually going to throw in a different best game,
Okay.
and I'm going for the 38, 31, 28 over the Falcons. Now, I know it's the Falcons and I know it's close,
Yeah.
but you have to factor in that Dobbs had only come into the side 5 days ago and he had a game-winning drive. They were also still missing Jefferson. They had no Cam Akers as well. They missed big players, and guys come in without knowing the team, without knowing the playbook, and led them to a game-winning drive. So I'm going to throw that one in the ring.
Yeah, I think
It's a
their worst
strong
game was the
choice.
one where Cousins got injured. That again, season over. I know they won two after that, but then they went into the Denver game with 6 wins on the board. They only finished the entire season with 7 wins. The next 7 games, they only won one, and that was that turgid 3-0 win against the Raiders. So
Yeah, which doesn't
it
really
was
count.
very much season over. But you mentioned, Jim, about the fact that they're in QB purgatory because they've not done too well in the QB market. Let's be honest, they've got rid of Kirk
Cousins are gone.
Cousins, who's a nice steady Eddie. He's Dak, but with a better arm. And we don't know where they are. They've obviously picked up free agents who are not flattering in Sam Darnold, but they're still
No.
picking 11th. And I think they probably go for JJ McCarthy in all honesty. I think he fits Minnesota pretty well. Whether that will work out or not, I don't know. We liked it up that area. We've done well with Michigan, but the problem is they're hemorrhaging pass rushes. So next season, I don't see them putting much pressure on the quarterback.
Yeah, Danielle Hunter and Marcus Davenport gone. Jordan Hicks, the inside linebacker, gone. They brought in Andrew Van Ginkle, who I really like.
Yeah, but he's not a pass rusher, really, is he? He's a
He's a bit
run
of
stopper.
everything. He's a bit of everything, mate.
He's a jack of
And
all trades and master of
I do
none.
like it. Jonathan Greenard as well, 76 million from the Texans. That's a lot of money for Jonathan Greenard,
A
but
lot of money.
they have at least made an effort. They've still got over 26 million in cap space, 14th at this very second. Obviously, by the time you're listening to this, guys, it might not be true, but it
The
was when
best
I
thing
said
that you just said is they get an A for effort. I mean, the one thing the NFL does not reward is effort.
it.
No. I mean, the Broncos have tried and tried and tried at quarterback, and here we are. Trying's the first step towards failure.
Yeah, they've got 8 picks in the draft. They're picking 11. They've got no third round pick, and after the fourth round, all the other picks, so five of their picks aren't their own originally. They got ones from the Lions and Browns and Chiefs and everyone else. So it's going to be interesting to see how Adofa Mensah works that, but they've got to get a quarterback. They can't just roll into season with Sam
Absolutely.
Darnold. They're going to have to get someone behind him. And we're already on to the final team of this episode. A team that is used to finishing bottom of the NFC North, and that is the Chicago Bears. 7-10. Bloody good record considering it's the Bears. Last season they were 3-40. Last season they were three and
Leave it
fourteen,
there.
Dave. So 4 games better than the season before. Best game, worst game. The Bears won 5 of their last 8 games, though 3 of them were NFC South teams, so it doesn't really count. I mean, they did beat the Lions 28-13 in week 14. However, I reckon the 40-20 win in week 5 over the Commanders when they were 0-4 was just a shocking result. Just showing how they were playing before that game. So I'm picking that game there. Just came out of left field completely. Worst game, they lost all their divisional home games, which is tough. But I picked the week 4 loss to the Broncos, mostly because the Bears were up 28-7 in the third quarter before letting the game slip. Bills had over 300 yards and four passing touchdowns well in that game, and they still lost it. So that's why I picked it for worst game. And as a result, the offensive and defensive coordinators are gone. In comes Shane Waldron from the Seahawks and Eric Washington, the defensive coordinator as well. So big changes there. Matt Eberflus keeps his job as head coach, and Ryan Poles is still the GM for now. Who wants to go first on the Chicago Bears?
I can do it, and I can be really quick.
Don't
I
have to be
think
quick. Don't have to be quick,
no,
Dave.
I can.
We've got 5 minutes, Dave.
You've got so much time.
I can be really quick because the Bears don't necessarily warrant 5 minutes being spent on them.
They have
I think
5 minutes.
there's huge, great, big holes in this roster. If you look at all the way through, you can see talent, but massive holes there as well. They've made some improvements in trades that they've made with who's the fellow they got in from Washington. I can't remember.
Want to sweat.
Yeah, Montez Sweat, who happened to be the top tackler for Washington and Chicago in the same season, which is amazing.
He made an
Next
impact.
season's obviously with them picking up Caleb, which I'm now 100% convinced they are going to do. And I think Justin Fields gets traded on draft night. Listen, Caleb Williams comes in, there's still holes in that roster and nothing's going to change. And I don't think they're on a hiding to actually achieving anything useful because a good team is still going to turn them over. Listen, you don't lose every home. You don't go from one season winning three games and then, improving to winning another four on top of that to winning seven, but losing every single home game. That's not the sign of a good team. You don't turn that round in one free agency and one draft. That takes a long time, especially with QB. Let's not expect Bears to be any good. The one positive for them is they're looking at building a dome, which might be an enormous
But
benefit
they
for
only
them.
lost three home games this season.
Yeah, but all of them in division.
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
That's
because they
not
know them.
that is not the recipe for success.
Oh, well, they've got five massive draft picks this
Yeah, and
year.
the only reason they won the other home games is because the teams that they played at home were the Raiders, and they played who was it that they owned? The
Cardinals,
Falcons, they played the
Falcons,
Cardinals. Exactly. This is
Cards,
the
Panthers, yeah.
Cards is a free win.
Panthers,
Talent
yeah.
coming to Soldier Field, isn't it?
They've only got five picks, but two of them are in the top 10 of the draft. So pick one and pick nine. Thank you very much, Carolina. It's going to be one of those weird situations where they have to take the consensus number one, because if they don't, they'll have to then be watching Caleb Williams' career and praying that he doesn't make it. And you don't want to be in that
None of
position.
that matters.
Don't
You
do
don't want
that.
to be.
to be in that position. You have
None of
to
that
be.
matters. He is significantly better what they already have.
Yes.
That's as simple as it is. And they only have you say they haven't got an enormous amount of draft capital. They'll trade Fields and they'll get like a second or a third for him or something like that. So
Well, not for
they'll get a
Fields, they
little bit.
haven't. They've got a lot of cap space. They've got 57.3 million. They're the third
What's
best
that? I
in
mean,
cap space right now.
that's only nine more than the Broncos, just saying.
They're third best. They're third best, all right. They've also traded for Ryan Bates, gave him a $4 million deal from the Buffalo Bills, at left guard. So they've got to shore up the line. They've got to make the line better for Williams. They've also brought in Kevin Byard from the Eagles, and obviously Titans before that. And DeAndre Swift has come across as well from the Eagles at running back. So again, one season for them, and they've just moved him on. So I don't know if that's the best moves. I mean, 15 million for Byard, 24 for DeAndre Swift. That's a lot of money for running back and an old
Byard's good, but
safety.
he's
But
old.
okay, they managed to ship Darnell Mooney off to the Falcons for 39 million, and Justin Jones as well, a defensive tackle. He's gone off to Arizona for 31. But they've got a lot more work to do, because with so few draft picks, once they've picked one and nine, they've got nothing until round three, and then two and round four, and they're done. So there's not a lot of wiggle room there. And they're not getting
If
anything
they've
for
got too
Fields
many
now.
holes to fill,
but if they want to move down from number nine, boy, could they get a lot.
It could do. Well, there we go. Those were
And
the
after me saying
AFC.
I didn't have a lot to say about the Bears, I need to shut up for 5 minutes.
Yeah, shut up. Those were the AFC North and NFC North teams autopsied. We've only got one more set of divisions to do, and that, as we look at the compass,
Do the
is the
West.
West.
It's fine. Go on. We can skip that.
So much to say about those West teams, because obviously you and
I might miss that one.
Punk Raider, who
Yeah, I'm
is
skipping a
ill
bit soon.
today, is hoping to be fully functional for next week to try and discuss Gardner Minshew as their number one quarterback. So yeah, we've got loads to go through next week. Obviously, we're also going to be doing trade stuff, so that's going to be in a separate podcast. And if you want to go and check out the other stuff, we've got our Gods Among Us series is just starting up on the Patreon, so you can sign up there and read some stuff about some of the best players that are currently playing, and the Mist of Time. So some of the ones that Punk says are pretty good, but who would know? They've been so old. We'll have to take his
Have
word
you
for
done
it.
one on Jerry Judy yet?
Not done Jerry Judy yet. He's on the list. He's on the list. He's just below Alex Singleton.
Excellent. Excellent. Now you're talking. Not many players lead the
Now
NFL
Dave's happy.
on tackles for 4 years running, just saying.
Yeah, brilliant. Okay, well, so there we go, guys. We'll be back next week. So until then, I've been Jim. That's been Finn. That's been Emma Dave. Thank you very much for listening.